during the break, Steve and I were chatting about the government's role and the idea that the government proffers, did you get that? That they want to stimulate economic growth, they want to stimulate the economy. We've heard it in past elections, it's the economy, stupid. We've heard that again and again and again, how the government wants to get out of our way, get out of the way of those that are producers and create jobs, and those that are building infrastructure. There was a recent survey a report that was presented, that no tax cut ever produced enough revenue to offset the cost of the tax loss, the revenue loss to the federal government. And I must say that I have to say, I don't care. It's not their money. You're laughing, Steve. I don't care. It never was their money. It was by your grace and my grace and others that weren't looking. We weren't looking at the time when they passed some of this stuff, that they got it through, that this economy continues to go forward. This economy, this country, in my opinion, is based upon individuals that have either decided to start businesses or invest in businesses, and they did it for one simple reason, and that is to make money. They also did it to provide a future for their children. They also did it to provide a home, to provide a house, to provide a way of life, and to improve themselves and the lives of those of their children and their children's children. And then here our government comes back along and says, you know, you seem to be doing okay, and you know, we just want a tiny bit. We need it for these reasons. These are good reasons. You agree, right? And it's almost to me, Steve, like it's a salesman who gets you to say yes enough times that the end question is always answered with a yes by you. It's like, you want to save this, that, you know, obviously we've all heard about save the children, save this, save that, for the children, and so forth. And in the end, it ends up costing you money out of your pocket. And of course, none of these programs go away. They don't typically end.
Never.
No, and so now we have, right now, I believe in Washington State, it's either 65 or 81, I think it's 65 cents per gallon goes to the state of Washington and the federal government for every gallon of gas. And I'm trying to figure out, in Washington State here, there has definitely been some struggles in managing our infrastructure and our roads to the point that they have supposedly needed outside investment and private investment co-op to be able to do some of these necessary road improvements, at the continuing price of a different piece of the pie in your pocket. And I am really upset about the inheritance tax. I'm just going to say it, tell you, Steve, I don't like the inheritance tax. I don't like the corporate tax. I also don't like, you had talked about during the break, the retirement plan tax. That was one that I agreed with. I really wish that there was some sort of an accounting. There's only so many times you can hit that dollar when it moves. I'm serious.
If it can move anymore at all.
If it can move anymore at all. And, you know, you bought a house, and I know my listeners know that I've said this before. You buy a house because you want to live there and you want to pass it on to future generations. That's not the way it is anymore. You buy the house nowadays with the intention of selling it. You don't buy the house with the intention of having it as a homestead, passing it on to generations. There is no real purchasing into the American or the dream of the United States and the citizens of the United States. That dream is eroded. You have one party trying to say they don't want to tax you. You have another party saying, well, we really need to do this. And the end result is that you and I have less money. Our parents are struggling oftentimes. And we find that if we, God forbid, we inherited a family business. God forbid we inherited this property. I have some friends of mine, I will just tell you, they're very wealthy. The family was very wealthy. There was a man, and that man, years ago, worked very hard, and he was very successful. And some people will know him. I'll just say, in Washington State, we have the what's called the East Side, which is Bellevue area. He owned most of Bellevue. People, they won't believe it when I say it, but they did. He owned most of Bellevue. I think he owned like 30% of the, he owned 30% of the private ownership, okay? I mean, he was massive. And now that estate, I've watched this estate deteriorate to pay taxes. It was about 8 months ago that the estate finally closed on his daughter, my friend's grandmother. It was the second largest sale in all of Hawaii's history on her estate. They paid in excess of $15 million in taxes. And it's crazy. All that money, it went to the government. It didn't go back in. These individuals are smart, savvy business people. The young generation has taken it over, and they're investors. They're building property. They want to build multiple units. They want to invest back into the infrastructure, obviously to make more money to grow this estate. But they were penalized by the success each generation. And that, to me, is not something that promotes a strong citizenship. What do you think, Steve? Think I'm wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong at all. We have a regressive tax code. We tax the most protected areas of society, and politically we try to build a almost like a race war between the haves and the have-nots. I mean, there are filthy rich people, and I would like to be one. And we all, you know, a lot of us are envious of them, but it's everybody's dream to get there. The people who are not there have a whole lot of difficulty getting there because of tax code.
Right.
And there are various tax codes, and there are solutions that the politicians aren't willing to try. They aren't even willing to give them a chance.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about Social Security. What should somebody that's 20 years old start doing now about their retirement and their Social Security?
If he starts doing right now, instead of putting in 8%, or if he's self-employed, 16%, like I have to put aside, because I have to pay both employer and employee. Right. You believe that?
Yeah, I believe that.
If he did, instead of that, he was mandated to put at least 3% of his income, and I'm just throwing that number out, I don't think it has to be that much, 3% of his income into a deferred annuity contract, which would not have any sales charges because it's mandated. The programs would have, the current insurance companies would have to provide it. They'd get a small, like a 0.5%, 0.4% fee. This is the thought. He would put that away into an annuity contract. That annuity would pay him more than he would ever even contemplate getting from Social Security when he was 60 or 65, whenever he elected. Okay? Mandate. Had to do it.
Okay,
he pays less. The company, his employer doesn't pay anything. Let us regulate that chunk of money. Let us regulate what the employer savings. Let's say he must hire another employee. He must add to the dividends he pays his shareholders, okay? He must reduce his prices, okay? Because he just had all these savings.
Well, now you're talking about...
That's the way to get something done.
All right, Steve, but you're honestly here. You're talking about a solution. I'm talking about a current situation. We only got a minute or so. I'm 25. Uh-huh. What do I do? Because I can't count on Social Security. What do I do? What should I do?
Oh, well, you got to vote smart, and you got to get active, because we're all apathetic. We all want somebody else to solve these problems for us, and it ain't going to happen. Okay, you got to vote the incumbents out of office, and you got to bring in decision makers. I mean, we've all got to get on the bandwagon. But yeah, 25, you got a rough start. What I did, and it wasn't because I had any foresight or anything.
You got 20 seconds, Steve.
20 seconds. I started buying municipal bonds with all my profits from the stock market when I was that age, 25.
Municipal
bonds.
That's what
I started doing. Yeah.
Just don't buy them in California.
Fortunately, I was in New Jersey, and I didn't have to.
Hey, Steve, I want to thank you. Steve Selengut has been joining us. He's an author, an expert, and investment manager. The Brainwashing of the American Investor, Amazon.com. Jump to his website. All right. What is it, Steve? Quick.
Danco Services.
All right. See you next week. Do you love pictures? If you're like me, you love to look at quality pictures of your kids. Hi, I'm Kevin Liger, and the best way I know how is to call Brandon Henry from Silverleaf Portraits for a free in-home portrait consultation. He and his wife specialize in fine art paintings and fine art photography. With three kids of their own, they believe that family is the most important thing we have. So give them a call at 253-321-4302 or visit silverleafportraits.com. That's 253-321-4302 when you're ready for a portrait memory.
The same great folks who bring your kitchen countertops to life, Counterfab Plus, now do cabinets. That's right. Not only is Counterfab Plus your headquarters for granite, silestone, swanstone, Caesar stone, zodiac, and corium top quality countertops, but now you can get your whole kitchen made over with top quality Counterfab Plus cabinets. Remember, wholesale prices, on time, every time. That's the Counterfab Plus difference. Call 866-355-1339 and ask for Kevin, or click on counterfabplus.com.